Moonlit Jungle. Call and response riff stretch for heavyweight sub impact in Ableton Lev 12. Beginner groove lesson. Alright, let's build a rolling jungle and drum and bass bassline that feels huge, without getting messy. The trick is simple. We're going to write a short call phrase in bar 1, then a slightly stretched response in bar 2. And when I say stretched, I don't mean sloppy, I mean controlled. Longer note tails, tiny timing nudges, and a bit of movement in the mid layer, while the sub stays stable and heavyweight. By the end, you'll have a 2-bar bass groove that loops like a proper roller, plus sidechain and sub management so the kick and snare still punch. First, quick setup. Set your tempo to something in the drum and bass zone, 170 to 174 BPM. I'm going to sit at 172. Now create a few tracks, a drums track, a bass sub MIDI track, a bass mid MIDI track, and if you want later, an optional jungle chops or FX track. Don't overbuild. Clean session, clean results. On your master, drop Ableton Spectrum. This is your low-end flashlight. We'll keep checking the 30 to 80 Hz zone. Before we even write notes, here's a coach tip. Do a little sub-math. When you play your root note, look at spectrum and see where that fundamental peak lands. If you're in G1, that's about 49 Hz. If you're in F1, that's about 43.7 Hz. That's a sweet spot on a lot of systems. If you go too low, like E1 and below, it can feel massive on headphones and then vanish on smaller speakers. So for this lesson, pick something like G minor or F minor. Dark, classic, reliable. Now let's get drums going, because bass programming without drums is like trying to dance without a floor. Load a drum rack on the drums track. Grab a tight kick, a punchy snare, and a closed hat. If you have a break loop, you can tuck it in quietly for texture, but keep it subtle. Make a basic 1-bar DNB pattern. Kick on the first downbeat, 1.1. Snare on 1.2 and 1.4 for that classic backbeat. Then hats on 8th notes or 16ths for motion. Now, if you want a little extra groove feel in Live 12, open the groove pool and try a subtle MPC-style groove or a breakbeat groove, but keep the amount around 15-30%. Light seasoning. The bass timing will do a lot of the rolling later. Cool. Now sound design. We're splitting the bass into two jobs. The sub does weight. Clean, mono, stable. The mid does character, movement, bite, and that talking feeling. Let's build the sub first. On the bass sub track, load operator. Set oscillator to a sine wave. Keep the level around -6 dB so you've got headroom. For the amp envelope, attack at 0, decay around 400 milliseconds, sustain all the way down, and release around 80 to 150 milliseconds. The release helps avoid clicks, but too long will smear into the next hits, so don't overdo it. After operator, at EQ8, on a pure sine, you often don't need much EQ. Don't low cut the sub. If it ever gets boxy, you can do a tiny dip around 200 to 400 Hz, but it may not even be necessary. Add a limiter temporarily as a safety net, sealing at -1 dB. This is not your make it loud button. It's just to catch accidents while you learn. And important, keep the sub mono. Add utility and set width to 0%. You want the sub to behave like a solid pillar in the center. Now the mid layer. On bass mid, load wave eatable. Choose a basic sawish wave eatable. Set unison to 2-4 voices. Don't go crazy. We're not making a trance super saw. We're making a speaking mid bass that supports the sub. Turn on the filter. LP24 is great. Start your cutoff somewhere around 200 to 800 Hz. We'll automate later. Add a bit of drive, like 2 to 6 dB, just enough to give it some attitude. After wave eatable and saturator, soft clip on. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Then pull the output down so it's not just louder, it's thicker. Then EQ8, and this is key, high pass the mid layer around 90 to 120 Hz. This is the big beginner win. The sub lives down there. The mid layer is not allowed to fight for that space. Optional. Add utility after that, and if it stays clean, you can widen a bit, like 70 to 120%, but do not widen anything that still contains real sub energy. That's how mixes collapse in mono. Alright, now we write the bassline. 2 bars. Call in bar 1, response in bar 2. Create a 2-bar MIDI clip on the sub track first. Pick your key. I'll say G minor. And keep your notes in that G1 zone for the sub. That's the physical impact range. Bar 1. The call. Think short, punchy, percussive. Use mostly 8th notes, with maybe 1 or 2 16th note pickups for energy. Start on the root. Pop up briefly to a 5th or a flat 7, then return to the root. The goal is a phrase that feels like it's answering the drums, not competing with them. Here's a timing rule that will save you. Don't hold long sub notes right under the snare. Let the snare breathe. In drum and bass, the snare is a lighthouse. It tells your whole body where the groove is. If you smear sub under it, the whole track feels less punchy. Once bar one feels good, copy that same MIDI clip to the mid track so both layers are aligned. We'll keep them matched at the MIDI level first, then add character on the mid layer with sound and automation. Now bar two, the response, and this is the heart of the lesson. You're going to stretch the response so it feels heavier, like it leans into the pocket. But you only pick a couple moves, not everything at once. Here are three stretch lanes. Choose one main lane, maybe two lightly. 1. Longer note tail. 2. Late entrance, a tiny delay on one note. 3. Extra silence, a deliberate gap that creates weight by contrast. Let's do the classic. Longer tail plus one tiny timing nudge. In bar 2, lengthen one or two notes, especially in the second half of the bar. And add a tail note at the end of bar 2, a low root note that's longer than anything in bar 1. Not so long that it masks the next bar, but long enough that when the loop comes around, you feel the answer land. Now for the timing nudge. This is micro timing, not random chaos. Turn your grid to 16th notes, or temporarily turn it off. Pick one note in the response and nudge it slightly late, 5 to 15 milliseconds. That's it. If you nudge everything, it's not rolling, it's just late. If you nudge one note, it feels like the bass leans back for a second and then locks again. That's jungle flavor. Quick test. Loop your two bars and clap on the snares. Seriously, if your claps start feeling confused, like you're not sure where the snare is, you pushed the timing too far. Ring it back. Now, another sub-specific tip. Pay attention to overlap. On a signed sub, overlapping notes can either sound smoother or cause weird dips or clicks depending on the envelope and how it re-triggers. Decide intentionally. Separated notes feel punchier and more drum-friendly. Slight overlaps can feel like a smoother roll, but they can smear if your release is long. So if you hear clicks, shorten release a bit. If you hear mush, shorten note lengths around the snares. Okay, at this point, the MIDI groove exists. Now we make the response feel bigger without making the sub louder. Go to the mid track. We're going to automate the filter cutoff inside the clip. In bar 1, keep the cutoff a little lower for the call. Tight. Controlled, question like. In bar 2, open the cutoff a bit more. Think 10 to 25% movement, not a full DJ sweep. The response should feel like it steps forward, not like it transforms into a different sound. If you want extra talk, here's a nice trick in Waveatable. Keep the amp envelope steady, but use the filter envelope for a short pluck, small amount. Then in bar 2 only, automate the filter envelope amount slightly higher. That makes the response bite more, without needing more volume. Now let's talk velocity. Even if operator on the sub doesn't really care about velocity, by default, you can still use velocity as a phrase control lane on the mid. If you've got velocity mapped to something like filter or envelope amount, you can make bar 1 hit a bit punchier, and bar 2 slightly softer but longer. That contrast reads as call and response even if the rhythm is similar. Now we lock the low end with sidechain, because heavyweight sub without sidechain is how you get a blurry mix. On the sub track, add compressor. Turn on sidechain. Set the input to your drums track, or just the kick if you have it separate. Darting settings. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. You want the kick transient to get through. Release 80 to 140 milliseconds. Adjust by feel. Lower the threshold until you see about 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. Then do something similar on the mid track. Usually a little less reduction than the sub. Listen carefully. If it feels like it's pumping in an obvious way, shorten the release. If the kick feels buried, increase gain reduction a bit, or tweak the timing of your bass note so the kick leads. Here's a deeper DNB tip. Sometimes the heaviest move isn't turning the bass up. It's making sure the peak energy of your longest sub note arrives right after the kick transient. You can do that by moving the start of that long response note slightly later, instead of shifting the whole pattern. Tiny. Surgical, huge payoff. Now sub management check. Keep the sub clean. Avoid heavy distortion down there. If you want a bit more audibility, use saturator very gently on the sub. 1 to 3 dB drive. Soft clip on. You're looking for a couple harmonics, not chaos. Use spectrum to confirm the fundamental is still dominant. And do a mono check. Put utility on the master and toggle mono briefly. Your sub should not disappear. If it does, something is wrong with width or phase in the low end. Speaking of phase, layering can sometimes hollow out the low mids. Quick sanity check if your bass feels thinner than it should. Temporarily lower the mid layer high pass down to around 80 or 90 Hz. On the mid track, open utility and try phase invert left and right. pick the option that sounds fuller. Then put your mid-high pass back to 90 to 120 Hz where it belongs. You're not mastering, you're just making sure the layers aren't fighting. Now let's make it feel like a real roller, not just a 2-bar loop. Duplicate your 2 bars out to 16 bars. Bars 1 to 4, just the basic call and response. Bars 5 to 8, one tiny variation, like changing one note in the response or adjusting the mid filter a hair. Bars 9 to 12, do an energy lift. For 1 bar, drop the drums to hats or reduce the break, then bring the full groove back. Bars 13 to 16, open the mid response slightly more, or add a bit more saturation on the mid only, then reset at the loop. A classic arrangement trick, remove the answer, then bring it back. Run 4 bars where you only do the call, and the response is toned down or simplified. When the response returns, it feels like a payoff, even though the sub hasn't changed. Now, I want you to use mute discipline to make sure your idea translates. Every 8 bars, spend 10 seconds toggling. Sub only, does the rhythm still make sense without the mid? Mid only, does the phrase still read without the weight? Drums plus sub, does the kick still feel like it leads the groove? This catches the super common beginner problem. A cool mid pattern that sounds sick solo, but falls apart once the sub is doing the real job. Common mistakes to avoid as you refine. If your mix feels blurry, it's usually sub and mid fighting. High pass the mid at 90 to 120 Hz and commit to it. If your groove feels sloppy, you overstretch the timing. Only nudge 1 or 2 notes in the response, max. If your snare feels weak, your sub notes are too long under it, or your side chain isn't working. And if everything is peaking, you're losing headroom. Keep track levels sensible while building, like peaking around minus 12 to minus 6 dB. Now a quick mini practice you can do in 10 minutes. Make a 2-bar bass clip in G minor. This audio version is shortened for playback.